If I could listen to the sound of your thoughts right now, what would I hear? For many of us, it wouldn't be a melody, but a cacophony, a constant static of what if, scenarios, replaying past conversations, and rehearsing future catastrophes. We treat our minds like a 24-hour newsroom that never goes off the air. Consider the story of Sarah, a marketing executive who is capable and confident by day. Yet at 3 a.m., she stares at her ceiling, paralyzed by a single, ambiguous sentence in an email from a client. Her mind spins a narrative of disaster. The client is angry, the contract will be canceled, and her reputation will be ruined. By the time her alarm rings at 6 a.m., she is exhausted, having lived through a catastrophe that never actually happened. Sarah's experience is not unique. It is the universal modern condition. We live in an era of constant information, yet paradoxically, we have lost the art of mental peace. As the Stoic philosopher Seneca reminded us, we suffer more often in imagination than in reality. Ultimately, anxiety is not the presence of danger. It is the absence of trust. The reason we cannot rest is that we are trying to play God over a future that hasn't arrived yet. We tell ourselves, if I worry enough, I can prevent bad things from happening. We wear our stress like a badge of honor. In our modern achievement society, a calm mind is often viewed with suspicion, as if it were a sign of laziness or indifference. Take David, for example, a father sending his son off to college. David spends his days consumed by news stories about campus safety and job market crashes. When his wife suggests he relax and trust their son's upbringing, David snaps, "Someone has to worry about these things." He believes his anxiety is a form of love, a shield protecting his child. At this point, you might ask a valid question, but isn't worry a natural human instinct? If I have a real issue, a health scare or unpaid bills, my body reacts. Is that bad? Here we must make a vital distinction between concern and anxiety. Concern is like the check engine light on your dashboard. It alerts you that something is wrong. That instinct is not bad. It is a God-given survival mechanism. It prompts you to take the car to the mechanic. Anxiety, however, is not the light. Anxiety is staring at the light for hours, paralyzed, imagining the engine exploding and refusing to drive to the shop. The initial reaction is a signal. The prolonged worry is static. The signal is meant to lead you to action, but the static blocks you from faith. David's problem wasn't that he noticed the dangers of the world. The signal? It was that he believed his worrying could control them. The static. Ancient spiritual wisdom suggests that anxiety is not a sign of maturity, but a sign of misplaced control. As Christian author Corrie ten Boom famously wrote, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Modern neuroscience paints a perfect portrait of the person trapped in this cycle. When we worry, the amygdala, the brain's fear center, sounds the alarm. Paradoxically, when this happens, your prefrontal cortex, the part responsible for logic, creativity, and empathy, literally shuts down. Imagine Eleanor standing in a boardroom. She has prepared for this presentation for weeks. She knows the data inside and out. But when a board member asks an unexpected aggressive question, her throat goes dry, her mind goes blank. It's not that she doesn't know the answer. is that her amygdala has hijacked the control panel, interpreting the question as a saber-toothed tiger rather than a business query. She is in survival mode. Dr. Caroline Leaf, a communication pathologist and neuroscientist, notes that while you cannot control the events of life, you can control your reaction. Spiritual practices like prayer or meditation act as cognitive restructuring. They calm the amygdala and turn the prefrontal cortex back on, shifting the brain from the fear of survival to the trust of thriving. Fear makes us reactive, but faith makes us responsive. Before we can find a cure, we must clarify a dangerous confusion. Many of us refuse to stop worrying because we mistake worrying for being productive. We think that if we are churning out thoughts, we are doing work. But there is a sharp distinction between motion and action. Think of Michael, an aspiring entrepreneur. He spends months agonizing over the perfect logo, the potential risks of the market, and what critics might say. He feels incredibly busy and mentally exhausted every day. Yet 6 months later, he hasn't registered his business or sold a single product. Michael is caught in the trap of circular worry. Psychologist Robert Leahy, author of The Worry Cure, explains that productive worry leads to new behaviors. It is linear, identifying a problem and stepping toward a solution. Unproductive worry, like Michael's, circles the same problem endlessly. It is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Planning builds a bridge to cross the river, whereas worry just stares at the water and drowns in imagination. How then do we escape this prison of noise? We must look at what psychologists call attachment theory. Anxiety becomes toxic when we feel we are orphans in the universe, when we believe no one is catching us. Picture a busy playground. A toddler trips and scrapes his knee. Immediately, the child doesn't just cry. He scans the perimeter. He's looking for his parents. The moment he locks eyes with his mother or father, he lets out a wail and runs to them. He still feels pain, but he does not fall into despair because he has a safe haven. This is the essence of a secure attachment. As John Bowlby, the pioneer of attachment theory, stated, life is best organized as a series of daring ventures from a secure base. For adults, the cure for spiritual anxiety isn't to stop caring, it's to realize you are not an orphan. Faith is not knowing exactly what the future holds, but knowing who holds the future. Dear friends, it is time to submit your resignation letter for the position of solo pilot of your life. Step down from the cockpit you have burdened yourself with. The illusion that you can control the turbulence by gripping the armrest tighter is only exhausting you. We must realize that the crisis of anxiety is at its core a crisis of rest. As the great theologian Saint Augustine famously confessed, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." When we try to play the role of God, we remain perpetually restless. We carry a weight that breaks our backs because it was never meant for our shoulders. That is why the ultimate cure for this anxiety is not a strategy, but an invitation to lay down that burden. Listen to the promise of Jesus, who offers the only true antidote to our exhausted control. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. Only upon this solid identity, not as a CEO, but as a beloved child, Can the noise in our heads finally settle into a melody, even in this loud world?